Jazz Crusaders, later known as simply The Crusaders, recorded live at the Newport and Pacific Jazz Festival in 1966 as they performed Trance Dance. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And an interesting day. In my case, I am more perplexed and confused than ever. Although people are saying what is happening today is what, you know, people are asking for. They want to know what's happening. The Trump impeachment inquiry comes from behind closed doors today and into the open. Democrats are saying they have more than enough evidence and witnesses to support serious charges against Trump. But key supporters of the president and the president himself say those charges are part of a nefarious plan to diminish the historic triumphs of Trump and has had that Trump has had in his first term. And now the Democrats are on an all-out mission to deny the president a second term. Well, I tuned in today thinking, hey, let's hear from the horses' mouths what they're saying. And lo and behold, I am more confused now than I was when we didn't get direct hookups from the hearing itself. I don't think they're doing a very good job. I don't think they did a very good job with this transition because it's very confusing and smacks of a little bit of a, you know, well, we know what's going on. Too bad that you can't follow along. Too bad that you seem confused. We know what's happening, and they're talking to themselves. And they are talking to each other about things in such a way that if you were a regular standard issue American wanting to know what's going on in your country, and you were depending on today's live feeds to fill you in and to get you properly briefed, you'd be up a creek. It is so unfortunate because it will take quite a while for people to even get the lay of the land. What is it that we're looking at? What are we hearing? How are we to make sense of what is going on? They just put on these hearings so that they can say they're, you know, in the interest of democracy, and they're trying to tie into another world when public hearings were the big thing, Watergate and the trial of President Clinton and so forth. But this is a whole different thing. The members of Congress have actually been at their hearings for more than a month. So they have covered a lot of ground, but behind closed doors. And it is simply that they're changing the venue, that they're out in the open, that the hearings are now live, but they have been for more than a month. So they understand what is happening because, after all, they're staging the choreography of it. Imagine a person just tuning in today and you have reporters reporting on things as if, well, I know about it. Why don't you? I know what's happening. How come you don't know what's happening? And it really got me very, very angry this morning because I am positive that there are millions of Americans today who tuned in to watch these hearings, who have no orientation whatsoever about what is going on and why the hearing is being held, what is expected to happen. None of that. No preparation. They just, you know, flick the switch and the hearings are live. But we have no idea what is the issue. It was rather smug, I think, of these media outlets to do that. Yes, they did tell us that they would be running it live. And by the way, that was a hasty decision. They had to scramble to put things together to go live this morning. So even the major news outlets that are now running the shows as if they, well, you know, this is what we do. But if you were the average person tuning in today, you will have no clue. You would be so confused about what this is all about. It almost is counterproductive. Because in the absence of proper preparation for something as monumental as this, and this is supposed to be a history-making event, this is only the fourth time in the history of the United States that a president is facing the threat of impeachment. You would think that there would be a smooth introduction, that they would have had the time, and maybe they didn't get noticed in time to set up, to arrange for live coverage. And they have their reporters out there doing their best to look normal, like they have a handle on what is happening. But, you know, I listen very carefully to broadcasts. I watch them very carefully. And it was so clear that they were, for the most part, unprepared. And they had to hustle, and they had to quickly put something, slap something together so that they can be on air. Well, that is not, to me, that's not my concern about how fast they had to act. They knew at some point this was going to happen. What I'm concerned about is the absolute mistreatment of people, just regular people, who would want to tune in and who, in tuning in, would want to get a special handle, you know, a leg up on what this impeachment crisis is all about. And then they tune in, and it's, well, you're on your own. We'll catch up with you as we go, but don't look to us today to lay it out for you. You're on your own, which is, oh, it got me so angry this morning. This is not supposed to happen. Where, in a situation this important, that the average citizen, the average television watcher wanting to know what is going on in the country, tunes in and is given the hoity-toity treatment. Of course you should know what's happening. Which is not what good journalism is. You're supposed to prepare people. There should be somebody explaining what is happening today, or as of today. What is organized? What is the purpose for each of these committees having hearings and so forth? You know, to do good journalism. But instead, the reporters are talking to themselves, and their guests are talking to themselves, and they're having their own media moment. And people like me, I mean, granted, I don't want to claim that I'm of such great intelligence, you know, but even I can't get it. I don't get where they're going. I don't get what they're saying. I don't get what the lay of the land is. And what am I supposed to learn from this process? They're talking to themselves and to a tiny segment of America that's in the know. If you don't know, then you're not supposed to know. So it got me off to a really bad start this morning, because it is completely unnecessary and in fact is a disservice to the public. This whole thing requires at least a good half a day. I mean, at least to just explain what is happening, to give us the sequence of events leading up to now. What has happened or what has been done up to now? They've been meeting, as I said, for more than a month without any intimate coverage of what these various committees are doing and who they're taking testimony from and what is that testimony and how does it impact on Donald Trump. These are things you have a whole month to prime us, to give us a nice little capsule that would help us understand what is going on now. Instead, you just flicked your switch and boom, we're covering it. We're providing coverage, but of what? And what is this supposed to mean to me? This is really shameful, I must say. Not one network parted ways with the herd and said, look, we can't just flick the switch and pretend that we've been covering this public issue for more than the month that it's been ongoing. People have no idea, for the most part, what is happening. All they know is that the Democrats want Trump out, and they're holding hearings to make sure that they can get him out of office. And Trump, for his part, is fighting back tooth and nail to save his job. And this is what we're getting in 2019 as media coverage of a very significant development. It is a shame. It's embarrassing. And in my case, it made me extremely angry this morning. And I don't like to get angry like that because it throws me off. It really throws me off everything that I should be concentrating on. Because I just can't believe that this is actually happening. And they're trying to persuade people that this is okay, this is normal. The networks have, in fact, I think they should be the first layer of protest. Okay, you're having your hearings behind closed doors. Great. please understand what this means. If you're interested in relating to the people, it means you have to take into account the issue of time. You can't flick a switch and say, okay, we're televising. And this is coverage. People now, I think, are more confused than ever. And in some cases, totally turned off. Because the actions of the major media basically translate to, you just have to cope. You just have to cope with it. You'll figure it out eventually. And we'll just keep the cameras running and people with a mic in their hands. And supposedly this is coverage. No, it's not coverage at all. Not only is it coverage, they're saying it is live coverage. But 90% of the people have no idea what the heck you're talking about. You're talking to yourselves. If this was meant to be of benefit to the public, a service to the public in the grand tradition of the press, where things are explained, where issues are broken down so that people get it, especially since this, as I said, is a historic moment, all the more reason to be very careful about the presentation of the information. You're conducting a class in civics, really, which is what this is. People will want to know what it is they're looking at. Why is this important? Why should I be concerned about this moment in our history? Instead, they just did it like, you know, well, eventually you'll get it. If you keep watching, you'll keep learning. No. That is not acceptable. Absolutely not acceptable. So I've been watching while I'm fuming. And then, you know, I reach a limit. I am so angry. And I'm not entirely stupid. Maybe a little bit. But I do have a working brain. I can, with effort, perhaps, make sense of what it is that is going on. But I'm watching people talking, and I can't make sense of what the heck they're talking about. And nobody is doing the proper choreography so that you get a comprehensive view and you understand the relatedness of things. But this slapped together performance just will not do. It's a disgrace. It really is. And a great disservice to the public. Because, you know, you have your cameras running and you have your lights and you have people who are reading from their phones and, oh, you're big into tech and whatnot. But there's no substance to what it is you're saying. And you're not talking to the people. Most of what I watched this morning must have flown over people's heads, most people's heads. They have no idea what the heck you're talking about. They don't have a sense of why this is important. They just know that you can go to such and such a channel and you'll see stuff. You'll see talking heads. But there's nobody actually integrating the information, putting it together so that it is understandable to everybody. And yet, they have had more than a month of hearings. And today is the first day out. We still don't know. We're more confused than ever. Okay, so I'm ranting. I'm going to stop. But I did say I was going to stop, didn't I? This is the problem that we have in this country. The media so-called elite, they don't feel the need to have information accessible to the public. They don't see a duty to be on point with that. This is about television and how they look with the lights on them, how they dress, and they're in prime time, and these are the things they worry about. The content is not there. The concern for the average person wanting to know, as it's usually presumed that we have the so-called right to know, that, the media will come through. They will do their jobs. But not today. Today was an F all the way around. Totally avoidable. Incomprehensible to me. They have the equipment, they have all the other stuff going for them, and yet collectively they could not inform the public about this most important development in our collective lives today. This is a history-making moment, and they could not pull it off. Okay, so what are we going to do? We're going to have our own conversation. As usual, we'll rely on each other to help us understand this ourselves. What is going on here? What is this hearing about? What are these panels meeting in secret and so forth? I'm okay with that. If the panels meet in secret and so forth, I get all of that. But I'm talking about the media totally abrogating its responsibility to inform. More than a month of meetings have been held, and today, when it's supposed to come into the open, we are operating at an informational deficit, and we have to play catch-up, and we have to go searching for bits and pieces of information and knit them together for ourselves. This is not the way the media is supposed to function in a so-called democratic society. It's outrageous. And what they should actually do is shut down and say, look, we're not ready. But we'll be ready next week, Wednesday. I'll take that. But this little piece of drama here, where they're still trying to explain to people that this was the planned effort they had all along to report on a very serious development in our nation. They're all doing some other stuff, and they slapped it together, and they're doing their best to make it look like they planned it all along. But it's not good, not good at all. So we'll take a break, and I'll come back in a better mood, and we'll talk. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.fm. I'm Patrice Lead, and we're talking about just a total disaster. They're trying to make it look like it wasn't, but it is the most unfortunate thing that our media organizations today simply are not prepared to do the job that they're supposed to do, which is to enlighten and inform. They look like they put things together hurriedly, but we should keep in mind that although these hearings were ongoing for more than a month now, today is their first day from coming out of the secret proceedings that they've been having, the hearings that they've been holding, and it is now taking on the aura of a public hearing, and I'm not buying that at all. I'm just thinking that the public was done a disservice today, a great disservice, and that disservice was in properly preparing, the media properly preparing to hold these hearings in a way that the people could make sense of them. Tell the people what is going on. Give us some background, who is who said what, and so forth. Where are things going? But to have no information, but pretend that everybody ought to know, that's not the way to work. That's not the way to do things. So I'm going to ask us to kind of pool our information together and talk about these hearings. They've been touted for quite some time, and we were expecting a great deal to come out of these hearings. People who would take us into the inner sanctum of government, especially this administration that has been saddled with so many accusations of corruption, ineptness, and on and on. We should know what the subject matter has been in the course of these month-long secret hearings, and where we are now. So I'm going to ask, do you have a sense of where we are with these hearings and where we are likely to be going in the very near future as these hearings continue? What is the deal? What is it that is at issue? How do we relate to these hearings that say they're about one thing, but then you tune in, as I did today, and it's all over the place. A lot of different things are in play. So we are confused as to what the primary objective is and how people are going about that. What are we supposed to make of this? Daryl from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Ms. Mead. How are you feeling today?
Oh, I just offloaded on you and everybody else.
May I start from the beginning? All right. May I start from the beginning? Because you stated that there were hearings held in secret, and now they're becoming public. In past impeachments, you had a Justice Department that collected evidence for you. In this instance, because the gentleman who is currently the Attorney General, his job is to make sure that the president is protected at all costs, there was no special prosecutor. Okay. Am I gone?
No, you were cracking up.
Okay, I was listening to the music. The music was much better than what I'm going to say. So the hearings that were held in the skiff in the basement of the Congress, hello, where are you going to put a secure place? But anyway, those were to gather evidence so that you could then move on to an impeachment hearing. So there's a difference between an impeachment inquiry and an impeachment hearing. This is where I totally agree with you, the news media hasn't even addressed any of it. It's one process and it's all going on, and the Republicans' job is to make sure that the Democrats look like they're weak and unable. And don't forget, there is nothing in that Russia investigation So we got that script. But there are a couple of levels that you want that would be helpful for the average person to understand. One, impeachment inquiry requires that you do things in a way that you acquire evidence. Everybody doesn't know what happens in impeachment inquiry, otherwise they could coordinate their testimony and you wouldn't learn very much. So you have to investigate people separately, and at best, as secure manner as possible so you can gather the evidence. Now, quote-unquote, you have the evidence. How does it get presented? Once again, I agree with you thoroughly. News media doesn't have a clue because they don't have a clue what it is that they want to look at. I'm not sure that the Democrats actually have a clue. What I would like to see is that the Democrats bring the impeachment, and at the end of the impeachment say, we request that the president stay in place, whether he be found guilty or not in the Senate. Most people think that an impeachment in and of itself means something. If I take you to court on a civil suit, it would have to be a criminal suit. I would have to go to a grand jury or get a judge to indict you. An indictment just means that I'm accusing you of doing something. Doesn't mean anything. So I got a bunch of good lawyers, I never even have to go to court. However, that's not what people, let me rephrase that. That is less than the impression that I'm getting, that people think that impeachment is a big deal. Yes, it hasn't happened very often in United States history, simply because most government, the division of government, most of them have respected the guidelines. This president has thrown out all the rules for all relationships, and he goes by his gut. If I feel threatened, everybody needs to feel threatened, and we need to do what I, as the president, think is best. Not the greatest way to run a country. I don't know if you watched him during the Veterans Day celebration.
I didn't see that.
He's not a well man. And people need to take that into consideration.
I've been saying this for how long?
I know. However, if you have that kind of fragile individual who has, okay, if you have that kind of individual who is so fragile, and he has so much capability of creating so much harm, then you have to take it a little bit differently. So what I would, and then you have a bunch of followers.
But you see, here's what we're talking about. At least I started talking about.
Yes.
The I'm talking about the logistics and the mechanisms that should have made this the first day of public hearings far more meaningful and significant. But I mean, I think I'm reasonably intelligent. I could make heads or tails when I tuned in today to hear, you know, the testimonies. I couldn't make sense of anything. And the reporters also could help me make sense of anything.
That's the Republican strategy. Now, granted, the news media...
No, I'm saying squarely, this is the media.
Yes, this is, I agree with you.
This is media. Falling down on the job.
But when have they ever been up on the job?
They've done a great deal. There's much credit that they are due. But this...
In what area?
Not one.
When it comes to things like
investigative reporting and in feature writing and in...
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about...
Of breaking down complex issues. Sure, I think the media does a pretty creditable job, but not
the
today.
The mainstream media?
Yes. Invariably, no. The mainstream media has gone through a major change. But you could still, not too long ago, you could still get useful information out of many mainstream media outlets. You have to keep up your guard because, like a lot of media outlets, the information is coming to you with a lot of attachments that you don't need. And you have to be wary of. But it has come to the point where we see people, just cutting standards, consistently cutting standards, and it harms all of us. Like today, everybody who tuned in to watch these hearings should have had some kind of a basic grounding on what the issues are. That did not happen. And beyond that was the attitude that, hey, you should have been reading all along. It's your job to keep yourself informed. It's too bad that you're not moving at our pace. That's no good. I really felt offended today by that. Thanks, Daryl, for your call today. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Tony, you're on the air.
Hi, Yatrice. Hello. I just had a theory. I just wanted to say that I think this whole impeachment process is just part of an effort. It's part of an effort to throw in the towel to re-elect Donald Trump.
Okay, so are we done with the sound effects so that we can talk
now? I'm sorry about that. Yes, like I was saying, this whole impeachment process is one of the tools that the DNC is using to re-elect Donald Trump. It basically, from what I'm seeing here, on September the 24th, Elizabeth Warren surpassed Joe Biden in the national polls, according to an Emerson poll. And on that same date, that's when Nancy Pelosi announced that she was going to proceed with this inquiry, impeachment proceedings. And I believe that what they're doing, they're stealing the election again from the progressive movement in the Democratic Party. I believe that's what the DNC is doing all over again. Because yesterday I had mentioned that I believe that this impeachment process was sucking up the air of the 2020 elections when it came to the candidates running on the Democratic side. It just so happens that Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are leading on the Democratic side. And not only that, we heard from these Bloomberg and Hillary backers that they want to inject these candidates into the race because they don't believe that Warren can win. And also, we're starting to hear from the good guy billionaires. I call them the good guy billionaires, like the Mark Cubans and the Bill Gates. You know, the billionaires we're not supposed to hate, you know, because they do such good work around the world. So these guys are going against Elizabeth Warren. So I believe this whole thing is just a show to distract from the 2020 election and basically gin up support for the Trump base. I believe that's what's going to happen. I believe
this is just a gut feeling of yours. You don't have any proof to for this, do you?
No. This is what I'm seeing play out before me. After I called in yesterday because I had talked a little bit about the Bloomberg possibly getting into the race, and when I got off the phone, that's when it hit me because I said, you know what? I think what they're trying to do is water the race down because Donald Trump is the extreme right of the Republican Party. And the opposite of that would be an Elizabeth Warren on the Democrat side. Now, the corporate America is in these past weeks, we all see that they're really, really, really against an Elizabeth Warren ticket. Okay, we've hearing it from Wall Street, we're hearing it from the good guy billionaires and the like. And I think that's just my gut feeling, like you said.
All right. Well, you've said it, so we'll have to look and see whether things fall in line in the pattern that you have just shared with us. But thanks for calling in and bringing this to our attention. I appreciate your call. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hello, Edith Chase. Good afternoon.
Hello. Thank you. Good afternoon to you.
Hope everybody's doing well.
Thank you.
I'm sure we're not because of this condition of what's going on in the world today. Anyway, we are such stubborn people. We are really stubborn. They should call us the human disgrace, not the human race. It's a real disgrace. You know, they have to make this appear like we have at least a two-party system. Because if it was a one-party system, then there would be no point in going to vote because it's a dictatorship. And that's what we're being run under now. The system is a dictatorship. But they have to make it appear an illusion that the Democrats and the Republicans are always at odds with each other for many different reasons. But they have to make it appear this way so we think that at least we have a two-party system and it's not a dictatorship. So they go about fighting with each other, and all it's doing is just wasting time. It's wasting our time. But we're like these people sitting in the baseball stadium, and the players left the field. The ball game is over. The players left the field. The dugouts are empty, but we sit in our seats on our hands in the stadium waiting for the players to come back to continue the game. The game is over.
I raised this question about whether, as a person, just a regular citizen, do you feel today, as you might have expected to join the conversation about these the impeachment hearings. Do you feel well prepared, or that the media was really prepared to do the job today?
Well, if you go by past history, that you would expect it to be something to inform us to, when they cared about us because they needed us. You know, they don't need us anymore to really partake in this system that's going on. You don't have 100 million, you're pretty much out of the game. I mean, these people that have 10 million in the bank and they think they're part of the 1%, they're fooling themselves. The cutoff line is 100 million. Do you have 100 million, Yatrice?
Oh, of course I do.
Yeah, just like I do. So one of these days we're going to get it, and then we're going to understand that this ball game is over. And we have ourselves to blame because we allowed it to take place. They've been planning this for a long, long time, and they've just been waiting for technology to catch up to their plan. And now technology is catching up. They're sending up the satellites. We got a regular citizen named Elon Musk. He's allowed to just send rockets off. I'm down here in Florida. You hear the ground rumble. I look up in the sky, and there goes the rockets again. We're sending them up. What gives him the right to do it? You'll defend him to do that. Bernie Sanders can say all these things. He can promise free education, free medical, because he knows he's never going to get elected, and he never has to live up to what he's saying. So people that say, Bernie's my guy, I'm voting for him. It's ridiculous. It's a scam. It's all a smokescreen to keep us busy worrying about Donald Trump's crazy, and the Republic and the Democrats are going to see to it that he's getting taken. Donald Trump, the Democrats, the Republicans, they're all in it together. And I'm not expecting anything from major media because they're in on it too. And back all the leaders of all the countries and all the rich people and all the rich. And I'm not saying all wealthy people are bad and corrupt. Far from that. Probably the majority of the wealthy people are good people, and they share some of their wealth with people that are needy. But they're under the same guise that we're under. They just have a better way of living, and they're able to get things that they want. You know, it's all part of this game.
There's all right. Well, thank you for calling in and donating your portion of the rant that I started. Thank you so much. Ma'at, you're on the air from New York.
Yes, greetings to the beloved family. First of all, I want to echo Darryl, who explained that since the Department of Justice would have normally appointed a special counsel in this instance. We remember Barr saying that when the CIA attorney came to him, that the complaint wasn't in writing, so that's why he didn't make any response. But I tend to be more upbeat and less cynical than some of the callers, and I want to send out some kudos to, I think it was Bill, in a previous call, said that, explained that a better way to say quid pro quo would be bribery and extortion. And I think that's an excellent point, and the Democrats are finally getting on board, because most people don't have a good grasp on English, not to mention Latin. So I've been watching the hearings, and I don't know whether I'm keeping up more with the news and the reading, but it's quite clear to me that this president is very clearly engaged in a very flagrant bribery, extortion scheme for a White House visit and approved congressional approved military assistance. But the question that I have to the Democrats is, what took you so long? I mean, when Al Green came forward about the bigotry and the, I mean, people mm-hmm. actually died. You know, people were actually killed behind how Trump used his bully pulpit, as it were. And even the mass shootings, which no one talks about, more than the days in the year. You know, when you have a president whose default mode is viciousness, hatefulness, calling people names, being angry as a reflex, sort of like a fifth grader without home training. It's like, to me, the Democrats should have been more prescient before we get to the bribery and extortion and upending of the foreign policy and international relations. I think the Democrats really fell down on the job. I think Ralph Nader and John Boniface of Impeachment Project Now, I think that they really have run down all the articles that should be on in the articles of impeachment. And you, Therese, have you considered bringing those two on the air? I'd even help you if you were interested.
Who is that?
Ralph Nader and a gentleman named John Boniface, who has a site called impeachmentproject.org, and he started Free Speech for the People, I guess, when the Supreme Court and such began giving corporations rights and free speech with their money, as if they were human beings.
I don't want to exclude anybody from the conversation. It's just that my priority, it has always been a priority of mine in terms of journalism, is to let the people talk. Let the people talk. Experts abound. I mean, there are lots of experts at things. But people have been systematically excluded all these years from expressing themselves. And, you know, we'll mix it up soon enough, but I have always wanted to devote as much time as possible to getting people to talk for themselves. Let them express themselves. Let them say what's on their minds. And then, you know, we can get the experts to tell us from their perspective what is happening. But I really prefer, to let people talk. Let people talk. Let's hear what they have to say.
I think that's excellent.
That's what sent me off the bend this morning. I was expecting to hear information that would be relevant to the people. It wasn't like that at all. It was reporters talking to themselves. And you're watching it, but you know you're not included in the conversation. Because supposedly they think this is so complicated, you know, our puny brains can't handle it. Hit me hard this morning, and I really got very angry about it, because here is the perfect example of when journalism should come to the rescue and really inform people, tell people what is happening, explain what is happening. This is not a time to be super elitist. you know, where you and your fellow reporters are in your own little ball of, you know, your own little globe, and you're talking to yourselves. Nobody was talking to the regular person today.
Well, I think that you have the very essential core of a very good idea, and with the digital world, we are very much citizen journalists now. And I just want to swing to some points of hope and light. So we see that Chase Boudin is now the new district attorney in San Francisco, and he's got a whole nother thing, you know, no payment of bail for petty crimes, mm-hmm. and de-incarceration and accountability for the police, and no, we won't tolerate their maiming and their murders. So that's very encouraging. And the other thing is that a Democratic socialist in Seattle won her third term. She brought in $15 mm-hmm. an hour, and she took on Amazon, who brought, I think they brought $1.4 million to the table to defeat her and put in someone that they selected. So they're addressing the corporate piece and what Amazon represents. So I understand your frustration, and we all feel that. And we just have to see that glass as half full and make sure that we don't move toward the despair is what it comes down to. And we all feel it, Eutrice, at times.
But this morning, I felt that that glass should be thrown right at them this morning. That's how I felt this morning. Thanks so much for at least cheering me up a little bit.
Yes,
and not be so angry, but I really was. I was close to Richter scale anger this morning. And that brings us to the end of the program today. I sincerely beg your pardon for making my anger be the topic today, but I'll be all right tomorrow. I'll drink some more water, and I'll be all right tomorrow. See each other. Bye-bye.